Hello and welcome to another episode of Mic'd Up Show. This is season three. It has been an amazing season. We've had some incredible guests, and James Hubert, no different in when you hear what he's doing, an absolute trailblazer. And if you want to hear guests like him, you have to tune in on Thursdays at 2 p.m. Eastern.
And of course, 11 a.m. Pacific in typically sunny San Diego.
This episode's a little bit early because sometimes our guests are originating and are running a regulated industry, and sometimes they have different items that pop up throughout the day. And we're flexible here on the show. We understand to get great guests, we have to have a great flexibility. And I think this one's an exciting one because oftentimes we have the typical IMB on the show, and Mike and I have been, and we'll talk about it throughout the show, but we've really been advocating on lenders being able to expand their credit box to meet the demand of the new buyer and of a shrinking inventory market. There are great houses out there, but they might be what was once considered difficult loans. So we call this closing difficult loans in difficult times. And James is on here to really tell us that for Quantic Bank, some of them aren't that difficult, right? So can you tell us a little bit about, well, yourself, right? And like how you ended up at such a trailblazing bank in the sense of its model is different, but at the end of the day, you know, it's trying to do the same thing, which is help people buy homes.
Yeah, Michael, thanks for having me. Both Michaels. I'm actually headed to San Diego tomorrow. I'm in sunny Phoenix, Arizona. We had just a quick backstory. We had fall last week. It was nice and 85, 110 today, 114 next week. So we went from potential sweater weather to like back in the pool. So fun times. But you know, just like the lending environment, it's always changing. So a little backstory about me. I've been in wholesale retail for 26 years now. So, you know, it's basically my first job out of college was a stock boy at like a Winn-Dixie supermarket in Georgia. And then I went straight into cold calling into mortgages. So I've like, you know, just been born into mortgages. So, you know, back when I got in the business, there was the word called subprime, right? Which now is non-QM, you know, a little bit more safer, a lot more sounder. But, you know, the borrowers, the makeup is relatively the same. So, you know, I've got, whether that's subprime, whether that's, you know, I was at Freedom Mortgage for, you know, many, many years and different institutions that did, you know, government lending as well, more challenged borrowers. But one of the things that I love about Quantic, and I run all of production for Quantic, whether that's retail, wholesale, you know, our direct-to-consumer channel, is we are unique, right? We do a lot of challenging loans. You know, I joke around with mortgage brokers across the country because I probably had five conversations with different brokers across the country that have had loans fall out at other national non-QM lenders that just don't meet that credit box. So here at Quantic, we are a CDFI, which is a community development financial institution. So I won't get into what that is. That's a whole other podcast about what that does and what that serves. But, you know, we are the only digital bank with that CDFI certification. And I would say, you know, and again, I don't have this number, so I don't want to, you know, post something that's not real. But I think we are the only non-bank, the only bank that is in the TPO, third party origination space, that is a portfolio lender, right? You know, doing what we do today. So that's exciting. So when you're a portfolio lender, you know, you're not really, you have your own set of guidelines, right? You can do your own thing. So we make, where a lot of lenders are making exceptions to their standard guidelines in the marketplace, that's just our standard guideline, right? So one of the things that we do with the CDFI is we have what's called limited documentation, right? You'll hear me promote in different things, light doc. So, you know, just to throw some numbers at you, the non-QM market, and that's just what we do in the wholesale space. If it was a pie of 100%, 80% of that is bank statement loans, right? And I would say of that 80%, 78% of that is for self-employed borrowers, right? So, most of that makeup is for self-employed borrowers. Those are borrowers who can't go QM, qualified mortgage, Fannie, Freddie, Jannie, because they're writing off stuff off their taxes. And then you got the income component. Then you got the property component. We're seeing a lot of properties come through with acreage, right? People are saying, hey, let me get out of the city and let me get into the farm life. I know my wife specifically, she wants a hobby farm. So we live in Scottsdale, Arizona. You can't get a hobby farm in Scottsdale, Arizona. So she's like, let's move to Nashville. So acreage, we see a lot of properties come through with acreage, right? Here at Quantic, we go up to 20 acres. What you're going to find in the marketplace is 10. So you got that, and then you've got probably the assets or the reserve component. So here at Quantic, we're pretty light on that. Did I lose you guys, or I just go full screen?
Okay.
All right. So what we've done, since we're the bank, we are the portfolio lender, we really focus on making things easy, right? So we promote our light doc product, which for those self-employed borrowers is just a P&L form. We give you the P&L form. We give you the P&L form. You take it out to your CPA, your P10. If you heard me in my earlier statement, eight out of 10 loans in non-QM is bank statement loans. They're self-employed. What's the problem with bank statement loans? I do this webinar all the time. You know, never do a bank statement loan again. I can tell you 4 years ago, I couldn't get an originator to do a bank statement loan to save their life. Now I'm on the opposite side of that. I'm like, hey guys, stop doing the bank statement loans. You got large deposits, you got NSFs. Then, you know, you guys have been in this business. It's like the underwriter wants all 48 pages of the bank statement. And that last page is blank. And you're like, you got the calculation of it, large deposits. So with us, with that P&L, we have a solution for you. It's our product. Go to the CPA, the P10, the tax preparer, get this P&L done. Oh, no, by the way, only 1 year self-employment. A lot of borrowers in today's marketplace have just went from a W-2 job to self-employed. We just want that 1 year self-employment here at Quantic. And we do that on all products, primary, second home, investment properties. You know, the beauty of it is as well as I-10 borrowers. So we're one of the few lenders out there that is still in the I-10 market. I mean, there's some out there, but I-10 borrowers, they don't have a social security number, right? Those are great borrowers, by the way. And then on the flip side of that, for those borrowers who challenge borrowers with that don't meet QM for, let's just say they're getting a large, they got cash bonuses, less than 2 years overtime commission. We've got a 5-question VOE, right? Some of my competitors, if you're listening to this podcast, I hope that you are, they call it the crayon VOE. They're like, we can't do that crayon VOE. It's 4 questions, right? We send it out internally and we go out and ask 4 questions. We're really just, we just want to know that total income, all sources based off of it annually. And we do that again on all of our products. So when we talk about the uniqueness and the challenges of non-QM, it's really around the income. So what we try to do here at Quantic is really simplify that and make it less is more mantra, and really just make it easy for the originator, for the borrower too. I mean, you know, there's nothing more frustrating than an originator just constantly having to go back to a borrower saying, oh, well, can you write me an LOE for this deposit? Oh, I got to back out this deposit because of this. And then you look at the other separation, the other big product that's in the marketplace today, and that's debt service coverage ratio loans, DSCR loans, as we call them. We're unique here at Quantic. Again, we're the only investor that I know that would do this combo of a borrower. First-time home buyer and first-time investors. People will do first-time investors in the marketplace, but most everyone will say, I won't touch a first-time home buyer. Well, a lot of first-time home buyers, they don't want a primary residence, right? I can tell you I'll tell you a real-life story. I've got a 22-year-old daughter. She will live with me forever, but she's like, Dad, I want to buy an investment property, right? She's a first-time investor, first-time home buyer. We welcome those here at Quantic. So, really what we deal with a lot here is we've got a lot of great business partners across the country because we're licensed in all 50 states. New York, you name it. We cover the whole U.S. From that standpoint. So it's exciting because the good thing is we help a lot of borrowers that traditionally can't get homes in the marketplace. So although I tell originators across the country, I'm like, come to us first. And you wouldn't have to transfer that appraisal, right? You wouldn't have to go, prolong that. But my operations team here does a phenomenal job, right? We got in, we'll call it 50 submissions yesterday on our through our broker channel. I would be safe to bet 80% of those were transferred appraisals. And what that means is those loans started somewhere else and we're having to go across the finish line. And our pull through once that conditional approval is amazing at 85%. So we do a really good job of, you know, when the industry is probably around 60% in that. So hopefully, you know, the audience gathers that, you know, we do some uniqueness. It's not uncommon. I'll call it common sense. And we're able to do that because we're not out in the marketplace selling to, you know, when you look at the non-QM market, there's really these people, you know, the big boys sell to the same investors. There's hedge funds that own these companies across the country, and they put these things in mortgage-backed securities. You know, if you look at 10 investors today that are doing 9QM, they're probably going to the same one or two investor, or hedge fund behind the scenes there. So you'll see a lot of uniqueness as an originator across the country with people's DSCR coverage ratio, minimum FICO score, minimum loan amount, some of those things. But what's been great about the 9QM space is we've seen a lot of, you know, people go into that space, newer lenders, you know, the agency lenders. I won't name names on this webinar, but that wouldn't touch it 4 years ago are like, I need to touch it today because 6 out of 10 loans, based on some data that came out about 6 months ago, that'll change with rates going down, obviously, but we're 9QM loans. But 9QM also makes up jumbo home equity lines of credit, right? Those are your non-GSE loans. So the HELOCs do, in which you bring up a great point. We launched a proprietary P&L BOE only product for second mortgages, right? It's funny, we launched the product and then all of a sudden we see various lenders coming out with a modified product of that in the marketplace, which is exciting. I mean, the more the merrier. Those self-employed borrowers couldn't go out and get a HELOC. A lot of people don't know this, but Chase Bank won't even do a HELOC, right? If you're a customer of Chase Bank, they don't even do home equity lines of credit. Jamie Dimon's like, nope, don't want them, right? So there's been a mass rush to the broker model for those HELOCs, and there's a lot of great sources, but there's a lot of challenged income borrowers that were in a historically low rate on that first that couldn't go into a second mortgage, and now there's options, right? Which is great.
James, there's a lot to unpack there in the last few minutes there. When you talk to a mortgage originator, they're actually lost. It used to be that, let's go back 20 years ago. And when I entered the business, I went in, and of course, there was a lot of products available 20 years ago, right? And so the mantra we would go through is credit, collateral, capacity to pay, and then character. Because we, you know, when you have the credit, you know, and you had subprime products, and then you have collateral. So you have all kinds of collateral. In this case, you're telling us, you know, you have properties with acreage, you have different types of unit mixes. And when I'm saying unit mixes, I mean properties with ADUs now. And you have lots of different types of unique types of properties, hobby farms, so on and so forth. And then you have capacity to pay, in which you just literally went and described. Hey, you have bank statements, which was non-existent a few years ago, or it was very existent 20 years ago, and then it went away, and now it's coming back. What's old is new, and then old, and then new again. And then you have the I-10, you have the non-QM of, you know, the verification of employment space, and then you have what used to be in the subprime era. We would have four criteria to make a borrower better. They pay on time. Quality of property, that, you know, they have X amount of reserve, which is better, or what is it that causes them to be a better paying borrower so that the collateral package and the borrowing package looks good, that it's always going to be a better performer to the fixed income markets. And so how does, and the reason I'm saying this is because when I go to like a trade show, like Originator Connect, or when I go to another trade show and I see the myriad of different types of opportunity that's out there, the one thing that I see, it's very consistent and unfortunately consistent, is the lack of willingness by the retail or the broker originator to learn more about how to be creative. When they come across an issue or problem, they say, how do we do it? And then products that Quantic put out, they go, well, don't ask yourself, how do we do it? Just ask yourself, how do we make it a situation where we can do it?
Yep. Well, you bring up a really, really good issue within the origination world, right? And it also filters within the lenders, right? These deals are not all cookie cutter. They're not, you know, hey, run an AUS, follow the AUS, right? They all, if you meet the income scenario, then you're going to have a title issue. Then a collateral is going to be an issue. Then it's a non-mortgable condo and, you know, they got an insurance issue, blah, blah, blah. So there's multi layers potentially of these loans. And if you know, I call, you know, our folks are very seasoned. Our account executives are, my underwriters, my average tenure of an underwriter here at Quantic is 7 years, right? And we just do 9QM. They come up with some stuff that I'm like, oh yeah, well, if we do X, Y, and Z, this deal will work that way. And I would say as an originator today, what the industry has done, lenders across the country, you can, you know, Angel Oak, you name it, all of these guys, right, do a really good job of educating and saying, hey, get on. We're going to show you how to do this. This is, you know, we do webinars here at Quantic, you know, on our I-10 products, Foreign National, you name it, our LightDoc product. But you got to put the time in. But as an originator, you have to be able to, you know, partner with a lender like Quantic or others that are out in the marketplace that really help you structure the deal and walk you through it. And there's a lot of originators that spend that time and do it. And then there's just some that just, they don't know a deal. And what I tell originators is like, call me first, right? Call me first. If I can't help you do the deal, there's potentially a solution. You know, the last solution is hard money, right? You could potentially go hard money, band-aid it, get them back in for 6 months, a year, and then let's get them out of that hard money loan. So based on the marketplace, there's some options there. So, but you have to be willing to invest some time and spend it and structure the deal.
Absolutely. How does the originator learn to ask more questions to their account executives? I mean, it almost sounds like, yeah, of course, but it's always, you know, you get basically, James, your account executives are getting the phone call when there's the problem, not instead of premeditating, hey, you know what, I'm going to educate you so you don't have to call me can get this done in the next 7 days.
yeah. You bring up a good point. You know, we'll get scenarios all the time and stuff. I'll get an email, you know, like yesterday, I'll give you an example. Can you lend on this appraisal? Appraisal on the surface looks good. I'm like, well, tell me what the issue is with the appraisal, right? So what I tell originators, you know, whenever you're talking to either us here at Quantic or, you know, some of your partners out in the marketplace, just be honest. Like, this is what I have, right? You'd rather know upfront, and therefore you can alleviate any of those bombs or headaches prior to that, you know, going in, and you can educate that, you know, you can potentially alleviate some of that as you go into underwriting. But, you know, based on my earlier comment of where probably 8 out of 10 loans we got yesterday, there is unfortunately not a lot of that goes on in the marketplace. So that originator will send that loan to someone else and something pops up. You know, they didn't meet the reserve requirements. They didn't calculate the DSCR right. Something didn't populate. The income didn't come back right. It really is no secret sauce, but I say just coming into the conversation with your account executive of what you know, put it on the table. You know, just put it on the table, and a seasoned account executive will tell you how to structure that or give you guidance on how to structure that or be honest with you. Just say, hey, I can't do that file. Maybe you need to go somewhere else. I train my salespeople to be as transparent. We're not all things to everybody, right? If you look at lenders across the country, we all have our really narrowed down niches that we really, really do well. Some lenders out there have what I call the Cheesecake Factory rate sheet, right? You can just do it all, but really, you know, their chicken is really the best thing that's on the menu. But we don't specialize in fix and flips here, bridge loans, you know, you name it here at Quantic, but it's just a risk appetite that we have for the bank. Knowing that and dealing with a partner that's out in the marketplace that will lend that and not be scared to say, hey, go try this, go close a loan over here, because at the end of the day, I want my originators to make money. Right. And that's it.
Journeys that this show has taken me on is Michael Zhao is an underwriter at his family office, and they participate in fix and flips. And so through this show and some of the guests, we've actually been able to bring fix and flip to the IMB. So on a high level, it's, yeah, okay, new program. But Bill Lohman was on our show last week. He talked about being transformational, not transactional. And to plug another show, we talk about how we will help loan officers, if you just listen to it, it's the blueprint at the lowest cost to start a podcast and why you should stay consistent. But what we found is typically if you care about those vanity metrics and you're in this space, when you start talking about the opportunity to grow as through home ownership, but especially through investments, there is a large community of viewers out there on YouTube, on podcasts that are that thirst for more information. When you take the fact that 10.7% of our workforce are self-employed business owners, that means not only do they run a business, they fit the quantic. Well, we can start with they are looking for you to advise them on quantic programs because that same entrepreneurial knack they had to put it all on the line. And by the way, by putting it all on the line, 7% of all business owners use the line of credit to start their company. So they put their house as collateral, almost one out of every 10, using a mortgage product from a company like Quantic that's really trying to make the American dream happen. And these people come to the show because they don't know where to go. And everybody they go to, the bank, which is usually where it all starts in most movies, right? You go down to the bank and get a loan. They are not like Quantic Bank. They have these credit boxes. They're going to say, and you are feeding that system. When you take the fact that like 30%, well, 57 million people are part of the gig economy. That again is something that better favors, and I'm sure you have some success stories maybe on that. My point is, as a loan officer, these loans are transformational because they repeat for a purpose, whereas the repeating mortgages in the past have been more trending. Like obviously you're going to get a 7% and go down to a 6.875 to a 6.5. But if you can get somebody in a fix and flip or a hard money so that they can take, and I'm kind of stealing Zao's story here, but you could take mom's house that she was going to have to sell and it was going to come out of the family, fix and flip it so that you could use that money to buy your new primary. Now you have it as an investor. You put the renter in there. You go to Quantic Bank. Now you have a better rate and you have empowered that family now to have two properties to grow transformational wealth. And if they did that over the last 10 years, they'd be $1 million richer than if they didn't have that, right? And how are you going to tell that story? You can get on your own podcasts because the listeners are going to come. They love the cute videos of showing how to save an eighth or a quarter, you know, on TikTok, but the content they really thirst for is lenders that understand that credit box. So I think, how would you help us tell these loan officers that they could stay, you know, in their lane of obviously being available for purchase and 30-year fix, but it's about time they use some of this platforms to get out there and how would they digest? I guess it can't be as hard nowadays to offer that Quantic package than it would have been 10 years ago trying to learn it and using Scotsman, the back of Scotsman's Guide, et cetera, to match it up, right?
Yeah. I'd say the first thing that originators have to do, and I follow many successful originators online, right? And they post, you know, the good ones are doing a really good job. And it's funny, as I talk to originators, and I've talked to a few over the past couple of weeks, I've got many good friends in this business, and I was speaking to one yesterday here locally in Phoenix, and he's like, "Man, I need a couple of LOAs right now. I'm taking 10 loan apps a day, right? 8 to 10 loan apps a day." And this guy's got a radio. He does radio online. Every day he's doing a video. He's doing some podcast stuff as well. And so I open up his brain, and I automatically know how he's getting his business. And it is truly from doing those things that are uncomfortable for us as salespeople. I mean, look, before COVID, it was hard to get people to go on Zoom, right? You know, it was like, I don't want to go on video. And now, you know, your corporations, and then that was the only way of communicating. Now you got to go on camera. And we're all on camera today, but I didn't even look that I'm on camera, right? I just felt like I'm almost in person. So, you know, I think you have to get comfortable with that first and foremost, but you have to take that first step. You just have to go do it. and educate yourself and do some of those things. But Michael, to your point, if you specialize with that in the mass community, you just mentioned 56 million gig people, where are they at? They're on TikTok, they're on Instagram, right? And if they see you specializing in some of that stuff, right, you're just going to organically grow with that. And you're going to get questions on those things. So the successful originators are taking that plunge, I will call it, into that world and being very successful. I was joking with my marketing team the other day. I'm like, we offer such a value add here at Quantic. We need to start doing a podcast, right? We need to start doing some of these things that educates not just the traditional, hey, we have a webinar, come join our webinar, right? Because yeah, that's nice. You can register, but you know, having a podcast that people can come on and do it. We're doing something unique starting this month where my underwriter is my chief credit officer. Not that this is unique, but we're opening up for originators to bring their scenarios to my chief credit officer in a live webinar where we can just talk round table about how to structure loans, bring your challenge deals, and have the credit expert just kind of talk to you on there, whether or not that deal comes to Quantic or not. It's an educational thing. So those are some of the things that that we're doing here. But you know, you just got to take that first plunge. You just got to do it.
Just real quick comment on that before we lose it. When you look at vanity metrics, what Mike and I do, the 300 views we had on one show, you know, on pace with Greg Scherr's show, that's a lot of views for the type of audience that we're looking for, meaning transactionally speaking, if Quantic's going to do a show and you have 100 loan officers watching it, there's enough business in there that it's all worth it. And for these loan officers, what I'm saying is the vanity metrics is the top. And if you go back and listen to our episode, the vanity metrics is the toughest part really to get from episode 10 to episode 40, because you see that plateau, just like working out. And the type of loans that Quantic has, I guess I'm saying, if you have a podcast at a local level as a loan officer, people will show up out of the woodworks because that is the American dream. And that is what they have a thirst for. And then over time, they'll start to realize that they could be that person that can put that P&L from their landscaping business. And why not buy that home with that place to put the Bobcat? And I'm telling you, like, that's the only thing keeping sometimes the Mic'd Up show holding us back is if we had more how to be rich using real estate, how to invest, yeah, that's ops on those shows. So I think there's a lot of incentive to double down. Or if you're a branch manager, take your most charismatic person that maybe isn't producing and say, hey, let's come up with a business plan here. I'll support you. You support me. And let's be the local people to tell people these loans exist. There's a lot of people trapped right now.
I want to add to that, Jade. I think that what you're doing is something that is actually really needed at the moment. There's that saying, you're the sum of the 10 people that you hang around the most. And if one of the things that the origination community is missing is education in the non-QM space or the creative mortgage loan space, however anybody would decide to define it, then what you've created right now is you're saying, okay, you know what? I'm talking to XYZ successful originators. I'm also talking to my underwriter who can help you with your deals. If two of the 10 people that you get to hang around the most are going to be the successful lender and the underwriter that's going to be looking at with the successful lender at your deals, then putting out that podcast and putting that out on social media, you're accomplishing two things. Number one, you're accomplishing the fact that you're getting the name brand, of course, and for self-serving purposes, that's very beneficial for you. Number two, though, you're educating the community on how to work inside of the business. Everybody's working on their business by originating new loans and doing that. And that's great because that's part of the deal and they have to do that. But working on the business, meaning that how do you educate the originator on how to learn more about the non-QM space? How do you educate the originator how to work on the HELOC space? How do you work on them so they can educate their clients in the financial services space by using the non-QM products? I think that bringing that out and saying, oh yeah, well, everybody has a meet the underwriter at their company. And I would say that's partially true because it does happen. However, when you actually have the willingness to go live and bring that out in the podcast space, you're bringing a dynamic that I think that you obviously you already see it, but you're bringing that out to the community now. Now you get to be part of the 10 people that people get to hang around the most. You're saying, I want us as Quantic to be part of that 10 people so that you can get educated, so you can originate more business. And as a result, you can be more productive, not just for yourself, but for your community and to your other originators and say, and you know, because we all network inside of these trade shows and conventions. So for the fact that you guys have that willingness now to say, we're going to bring the talk to the underwriter live in a podcast, whether on LinkedIn or whether some other format, Zoom, onto camera with the cameras on, that is a step in the right direction. I applaud you guys for telling originators to work inside of the business and on the business at the same time with Quantic.
I'll bring it all together as a question for you too then. So role-playing into that role, you're a loan officer and a local podcast. Do you have a success story that you remember that Quantic Bank was able to do for somebody that you think really that kind of set them off in a different direction? It wasn't like a primary residence, I'm saying.
So this is real live. Yesterday, one of our broker partners out of Florida called me. The account executive was out, called me, had an I-10 borrower. And it was an I-10 borrower. They wanted to do a cash out, right? They wanted to do a cash out on an I-10 loan, already on the property, which is great. Loan amount was pretty large, but the borrowers, he didn't have enough income to qualify. So he wanted to put the daughter on the loan, which was fine. She was another I-10. The situation was once you uncover those questions, what's the primary borrower's FICO score? His FICO score was substantially lower. When I say lower, it was 564. So, you know, once you get below 640 in the non-QM space, you're pretty much all bets are off, right? You know, there is that sound lending, you know, versus what we had with the old subprime days. So as I start having the conversation, just with a conversation with him, well, the daughter, what we did was we basically set it up where the daughter, the borrower was not in any form of default, right? So he wasn't in any form of default, current on his payments. But the daughter, we set it up for the daughter to actually buy the property from father. She had a 780 FICO score, right? Did a gift of equity, got father cash out, right? So she, you know, she basically bought the property from him. So we did a gift of equity, family member. And then he was like, well, she works for me, right? She works for the borrower. That's fine. VOE, self-employed. We get the CPA who does their taxes to do the VOE for the borrower. It's easy. He had called 8 different lenders. Obviously the FICO score was the issue. And I found a way to structure that deal for him. Now we still got to get it across the finish line. But the reality was, is there was a solution based on how you structure that loan to meet the end borrower's goal, right? You know, sometimes you got to, you know, this is my Southern slang coming out, but you got to go over your shoulder, or scratch your ass. Well, that was one of those situations where you have to do it. But, you know, but back to your point, Michael, the borrower, the primary borrower, the father needed the cash in order to go open up another branch of his business to expand his business. You know, so it, you know, and he was struggling with that. And there's a lot of business owners that, you know, are robbing Peter to pay Paul. They've got the means to do it. They just can't, they don't have the wherewithal to do it. So real life scenario happened yesterday at about 3:34 Pacific Standard Time, because I remember I was on the phone for an hour.
So yeah, at 7.3% of all businesses start. I actually saw Casey Crawford post that on social media. So yeah. That is where social media obviously does have a ripple effect, hits our show now and goes further out there. But what a story where able to expand the business for the family and keep the house they probably grew up in. Not to mention there's a great Homestead Act down in Florida. So like you guys are just really in the best interest of the customer there. And I think that story, if it succeeds, has such a ripple effect, you know, in that community, because they all probably know the name of that business and they know that family. That's the type of lending that's going to attract podcasts and transformational advancements, because you might get all of their employees. These type of loans, I feel like, are so unique in building businesses now.
So one of the things I want to touch on what Michael was saying was the education portion in the marketplace. So one of the things that's happened with NARB, now that's a whole other podcast that we could do with the whole other thing. But one of the things that I've done here at Quantic is we've kind of capitalized on that, right? We're at FDIC Bank. So we are actually actively hiring real estate agents to become part of originators. Now, you know, you can do that. You're licensed in all 50 states. You don't have to pass the test, right? You're under the federal charter, which is a great segue into that. But here's what I found as I talked to originators, to real estate agents across the country, and I explained our portfolio products. Their mind is blown. They're like, no loan officers ever come to me and tell, you know, told me that, you know, products like this exist. So if you're an originator and you're listening to this today, there's a likelihood that your, you know, real estate part, your agent partners out in the marketplace don't even, because it starts with them on the baseline. A lot of times with like, whether or not that they can qualify that borrower just based on that conversation. But I would say you have to educate your real estate agents, specifically your very valuable partner ones that like, hey, there's loans that we can structure out in the marketplace to do that. So, you know, just kind of, I wanted to piggyback off what you said, Michael, earlier, is just about the educational portion. And I'm grassroots talking to real estate agents out in the marketplace. And, you know, these guys are like, you can do it. You can do a one-year self-employment with P&L. You can just do a VOE and they can have overtime, you know, all that other stuff. And their mind is blown. So you got, I always tell people from a salesperson, from one salesperson to another, if my mouth isn't moving, I'm not making money. So yeah, go move your mouth.
So does that mean that lenders and realtors can collectively work together so they can leverage Quantic wholesale, or is it Quantic retail, or how does this work together?
So the retail side, you know, we've kind of expanded it, right? You've probably seen in multiple people across the country, mortgage bankers, you know, again, out in the marketplace, they've got, you know, capitalizing on it. They're like, hey, come join, you know, such and such brokerage or bankerage. If you're a licensed real estate agent, add a different vertical, right? The challenge with that as a real estate agent is you got to get licensed in the state. You got to get binded. You got to go pass a test. The value add that we have here at the bank is you just get an NMLS license. You're now licensed in all 50 states. There is no test. And you kind of plug into that, but that's on a real estate side. But you know, that's a whole other conversation as it relates to it. But the back end to that was, as I speak to real estate agents on a daily basis, and when I tell them the value add at Quantic, right, their mind is blown in the sense of they didn't know that products like this existed. So
they also didn't have the historic bias that like this is the way it has to be because this is the way it's always been. I always love that quote. The people that got you here are not going to be the ones that get you out. That's a statement about mindset. So they're coming in saying, let me educate. And we have to have empathy for them because the seller's agents are running everything right now. And they're slowly testing how, and I'm seeing this in posts, they're starting at 2, then 175. How low can they go on the buyer's side, right? And so these buyer's agents really need to migrate. And when they come there, they're not predetermined, like has to be GSE, has to be FHA. They can come in and go a different angle with it. So, you know, we certainly appreciate that. Like, where do you see Quantic Wholesale in the next 5 years? And when we hear wholesale, we think brokers, but are there IMBs that are brokering out deals they can't do? How's Quantic going to help everybody rise to the top?
So one big thing is my biggest clients in wholesale are IMBs. I won't name names, but they're not your traditional mortgage brokers because we cover that. But it's the IMBs that either A, don't want the risk putting it through their own warehouse lines or doing it non-Dell, and they broker those loans to us. The foreseeable future for the non-QM space, you know, with projections is it's going to continue to explode. It's double than what it was in 2023. There's more, I think 16% of all borrowers in the marketplace today are self-employed, right? Eligible borrowers are self-employed, and that's projected to go up as people, you know, want to expand, get away from corporate America. Great for those guys. So the non-QM space, you know, is going to continue to expand. We're going to continue to evolve and be, you know, risk advert with products. You know, we constantly look at our product base and what the market demand need is, you know, and where can we play in that space? We've got some enhancements to our products that are coming out. whether that's allowing for investment on I-10s, launching a 5-8 DSCR with a mixed use component. You know, some of those things that are they're not very prevalent in the marketplace. And where can we really help the market from that standpoint? I don't see the non-QM space expanding the credit box, right? I think we got some economic factors. Again, I'm no economist, right? Maybe I should be. But I think when you look at credit card debt at an all-time high, you look at, let's just use our common sense as a consumer.
Savings at an all-time low again.
Savings, right? You got that. Auto loan delinquencies are up. So what do people stop paying first? Their credit cards, then their auto loans, and then last but not least, their mortgage, right? Now, knock on wood, mortgage delinquencies stay down. What I love about the non-QM space versus post, you know, the pandemic, the financial crisis, is non-QM is sound lending now. Most of these borrowers have 20, 30% down and they've gained equity. They're not going to walk away. It's not like we did an 80-20 one day out of BK, right, back in 2008, and they don't do it. So I think the non-QM space will be a little bit protected of some of the foreclosures and stuff just due to the equity position. I think if we see any runoff there, it'll be, you know, it'll be in the agency and the government space. But I think the non-QM space, yes, they won't be protected because they will do some of that. That will happen. But I think the non-QM space is here to stay and here to grow. And I know on our side of the house, we have aspirations of also getting into the true delegated correspondent space and helping those IMBs and giving them another blanket where they don't have to broker out so they could correspond that loan to us as well.
So if you're self-employed and you're listening to our podcast, act quick, tell your loan officer to call Quantic. Michael Zhao, any final thoughts here on the show as we do have to.
I was going to ask the question, what is your one industry secret sauce? We're limited on time, but what I will say is that one of the things that I'm taking away from this show is that what Quantic has to offer through their account executives is the willingness by them to educate the origination community on the various types of products that could be more available to them when they have the willingness to invest their time to get educated on these types of products. Quantic may not offer all of them. They will offer most of them. And maybe some of the other non-QM lenders in the space will be able to offer some kind of unique underwriting space that maybe Quantic hasn't seen yet. What I will say is that the types of opportunities that are available are still limitless at this moment. And the leaders of the origination community can still take advantage of educating their originators. Right now, there's too many originators still in that agency box. And in order for us to be able to generate more and new originations, we need to be able to open the box and create more opportunities, not only for us as originators, but also more opportunities for the buying community that's out there. We may still have an inventory issue, but part of the inventory issue is currently being released with lower interest rates. And with the type of opportunity that's available through Quantic, I think that there is greater opportunity to get that inventory off the shelves.
Amen.
Well, thank you for coming on here, James. We appreciate it. Tune in, everybody. If you've been listening, we waited way too long to say this. Please give us a like, a comment. We'll send you some swag. And a subscribe would actually be the coolest. So any of those you can do on whatever channel you're listening, and always tune in for the live show at 2 p.m. Eastern.
11 a.m. Pacific.